So what about those Knicks, though?
Man,
come on, Dre. Come on. Come on, Dre.
In this area? Like, yeah. Go New York, go New York, go. It's insane.
Like, are you feeling it, though? Like, are you at least a quasi-Knicks fan?
I am. So I was sharing with somebody recently that I saw this, this is probably on IG, where someone distinguished a diehard Knicks fan from a casual fan.
Yeah.
I was definitely in the middle.
Okay.
Like, because the casual fan doesn't really know anything.
Yeah.
And the diehard fan obviously knows everything.
Casual fan knows the colors, maybe one or two colors.
Yeah, I'm way more than casual. I'm more than a casual sports fan.
Yeah, in general.
But I didn't grow up having a basketball team. Right?
Okay.
There
was no Pelicans in
New
Orleans?
There was no Pelicans in New Orleans.
And South Carolina, there was no...
Nothing.
Yeah, I guess college, maybe, but no pro.
Yeah.
No pro team.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Knicks and all the Knicks fans. And I'm into it.
Yeah.
I might drop in a couple of stacks to go to a game.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. One of my clients has season tickets. And so he's constantly sending me the ticket prices. I'm going to pull this up. Now, this was not even for the finals because the way the garden is set up, Jim Dolan in his greed or wisdom, however you want to look at it.
Grisdom.
Grisdom.
Weed.
He set it up where you can't sell the tickets until 24 hours before the game because the garden itself is trying to maximize those prices.
Crazy.
Yeah, hold on. You got to see these ticket prices.
That's not even.
All right. Two tickets left. This was for the series against who do we just sweep? I mean, we swept so many teams.
Oh, it's like that.
Oh, the Cavs.
For the Eastern Conference Finals? Yes.
I guess it was the Cavs. I mean, we just sweep them. No, we swept Philly. I lose track.
Yeah.
I lose track. But courtside seats, $193,000. Courtside.
That's insane.
Yeah. Seats behind the basket, between $12,000 and $14,000 per ticket.
Per ticket.
Nosebleeds. Nosebleeds. Between $5,000 per ticket and $7,000 per ticket.
That's just not
even... Nosebleeds.
I saw something else
on IG. I've never even been in the nosebleeds at the Garden.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't go up there, but not for 5 G's.
I would not go up there for 5 G's.
Yeah.
I might.
They've also been doing at the Garden and at Radio City for $10. You can just go for the away games and watch the games. I would do that.
Yeah.
I would spend $10 on that.
Of course. I saw somebody else say they were like priced out and they said for the same price of a ticket in the Garden, they'll go to the opposing team city, book a flight, fly first class.
Yeah. For real.
Buy the best seat, buy a house.
I mean, practically.
Come back.
I mean, practically.
A home in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
If it's Oklahoma City?
Yeah. It's probably not. You can't. I mean, look, for those $125,000 tickets, two of them, maybe you could buy a house.
I'm saying.
But the only thing that would
suck. You're closer?
The thing that would suck, you got to live in Oklahoma City. But whatever. Well, whatever.
You rent it out.
Yeah.
No one said it has to be your primary residence.
Yeah. But for me, it's a big deal because I've got three major teams I follow, the Knicks, the Mets, and the Jets. My entire life, I've won championships. Don't laugh.
You've been so.
Don't laugh.
I've won championships my entire life.
One championship.
I have one team, one sport, New Orleans Saints.
So you
we're in the same boat.
You got one chip.
One chip,
but
my entire life.
But that's one league.
But we were the laughing stock of the league forever.
But that was a hell of a championship year.
It was.
Right after Katrina.
Yeah, it was cool.
Drew Brees for president back then.
Yep.
Not now. All right.
Yeah.
So, speaking of things that are rare, financially independent, retiring early. When's the last time this topic has come up in your conversations with clients, friends? people?
Like, it's been a minute because most of us just trying to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, between inflation, uncertainty,
yeah,
job loss, not too many people are really talking about this.
It's like a throwback term. We did a show on FIRE back in 2021. And at the time, I had never heard of it before. Like, this is a whole movement. There are conferences. There's a bunch of books and people blogging and all sorts of things. And it's about, like, extreme early retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a call.
I'm not about that life. I've never been about that life.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go through it today. And really, the theme of today is not, hey, you should get down with FIRE.
Yeah.
The theme is there's a couple of things that they are doing right that maybe you can borrow. What can we borrow from the FIRE?
Sure.
Right? So I was talking to a listener earlier who, you know, we always invite people if they want to talk about their financial circumstances, hit us up on our website, momentum-advisors.com/contact, and they can schedule time with us. Well, young man, 28 years old, married, father of one, hit me up, hit us up. And he wanted to talk through a situation. He described himself as being on the FIRE budget. And as we went through it, I'm like, maybe this is like light FIRE.
A little spark.
Maybe it's a brush fire.
Campfire.
It wasn't fire.
It wasn't fire.
Yeah. But like, he's on his way. Like, the kid makes really good money. He has some really good goals, but not there yet. Because FIRE is about like extreme stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need to have really big balances at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
I need to cut my budget drastically to the point where I can save between 50 and 75% of my pay.
Yeah.
Like, that's the lean kind of like FIRE mentality. And and the kid, like, you know, he learned a couple things from FIRE, and I give him credit for that. Like, he was putting in his 20s 10% into his 401k. Like, that's very good.
Discipline.
He was living on, I think, a modest budget relative to his income.
Okay.
It won't fire though. It wasn't it wasn't all the way FIRE. So we'll talk today about FIRE, about retiring early, and like the idea that maybe you don't have to do it in the extreme sense, but maybe there's some things that you can learn from this group of people that are doing it.
Right. I have found personally that some people who would be categorized as FIRE retirees, I guess, they live a life of such frugality that they end up being unhappy and almost resentful.
That's kind of like messing up the main point.
Yeah, yeah.
Because happiness should be a part of this, for sure.
Right, but I also don't think they were intending to retire and not work ever again.
Yeah.
But it just worked out like that. But anyway, that's no fun.
Well, the one FIRE I would do, there's a bunch of folks who like sell businesses and retire early.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that. I mean, maybe I'm not going to sell this business, but I will be selling these dry cleaners one day.
Right.
And if it's enough for me to retire early, I'm just saying.
Right. It's retiring. You're retiring from something.
Yeah.
But you got too much energy. You too busy. You're going to get into something.
Oh,
you're going to do something.
Yeah. So here goes some stats. So according to a survey, 25% of Americans would like to retire before the age of 50. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
considering you might live to 100.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, consider I'm 49 right now. So my pop retired at 50. My dad retired at 50.
My mom too.
Your mom did too?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What was your mom's strategy? How did she do it at 50?
She commingled her assets with her new husband.
Okay. Married well?
No, but she was legitimately taking a package. A package was offered. She was at AT&T, and a package was offered, and she was going to take it anyway.
Yeah, good.
Because she could. Because her expenses were minimal, and daughter was her way through college, youngest daughter.
The package helped. The package didn't make her retire. Because what I mean by that is, like, she must have already been doing retirement savings. She must have already had some cash in the bank.
Yes.
The package probably gave her a couple years of pay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you got to think about it, too. Our parents came up in the pension age.
Yeah.
So, and some of our parents had both pensions and the ability to contribute to a 401k. So some of that generation had a little booster that all of us don't have today.
So what? I never realized that. So we have so much in common, but like both of our parents retired at 50. Like my dad retired at 50. So for my dad, He worked at a company that went public. He worked at UPS for 32 years.
Yep.
And they had an IPO. Mm-hmm. And my dad had been buying stock. Like, they let you buy employer stock.
Yep.
So every bonus he ever got, every extra little bit of money he had, he put it into the stock while it was private and went public. And he was straight.
Yep.
After that.
Yep.
But a quarter of us want to do it, and not many people actually do it.
Another thing we have in common is, I mean, you're not there yet, but I don't think either of us are retiring at 50.
Yeah, I mean, like, put it like this.
Well, I didn't, so yeah. I can't say.
Yeah, given that you're already 50, I guess you still have a little bit of time.
I did not retire at 50.
Did you turn 51 already?
I'm 52, bro.
Oh, snap.
Oh, and we have laughter.
Okay. No, but in my head, you're like...
It's too late.
A year older than me, mm-hmm. max, in my head.
Keep that in your head.
In reality, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Other stats. Now, most people, like, while some people want to retire early. Like, I always wanted to have, like, a certain net worth by 50. That was my little contest with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just to say that, like, look, I could if I wanted to. I'm probably, I don't know, let's just skip that if I'm there or not.
Yeah.
Like, also, by the way, Willis hooked me up with this good, that shirt that I sent on the group sex.
Oh,
accident,
really?
That's a Willis. That's a Willis. Fine.
Yeah, you were just keeping that to Willis, a small group of friends. Willis, you were like, oh, sorry, guys. Well, wrong thread.
If you want the shirt.
That was intended for my friends.
I could put you on. But, like, I wouldn't write good ass like that in the group text for Momentum. All right, let me get back into it. So,
wait, is that one of them?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I have a thing, and maybe this.
You like graphic tees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With meaning.
It's not graphic tees.
It's cultural.
What I like on tees is pictures of black people where there's no name.
Yeah.
And if you know, you know.
Right.
And if you don't, then it ain't for you.
Right.
Notice on our group text.
Yes.
You recognize who the picture was.
Yes.
And other people were like, that ain't you.
Right.
Like, all right. It ain't for you. It's like a little dog whistle between black people. Like, who was that on the shirt?
It's just so accurate.
Who was it on the shirt?
I actually don't remember.
All right, I'm going to show it to you.
Okay, I'll look at it.
All right, look at the group. Yeah.
I didn't look at it with, because by the time I looked, it was the conversation about, sorry.
So on my shirt today, I got Richard Pryor holding the mic.
That I know.
Yeah.
Oh, is it D'Angelo?
It's D'Angelo.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I do remember that, but I forgot.
So I got a D'Angelo shirt being made.
Yep.
I've got a Prince shirt being made.
Mm-hmm.
At the crib, I have.
You should do one of yourself, though, just to see.
Just to mess with people.
Yeah, just to mess with people.
At the crib, I got a Biggie. I got a Jay. I got Sade. I've got young Michael Jackson, who I wore a couple weeks ago, and somebody literally was like, is that the mom from Good Times? Like, bruh. Like, it literally looks nothing like that. But if you know, you know.
It probably doesn't look like Michael Jackson they know either.
Because Mike was different back then. Young Mike was cute. So, sidebar, we digress. We were talking about these stats. So 25% of us want to retire before 50. But on average, most people think that they're going to work until they're about 65. But 70% of us end up leaving the workforce earlier than expected. The reasons why, it's health issues that you didn't anticipate. A third of folks have health issues. A third of folks get laid off or had some kind of employer-related challenge that they didn't expect. Your mom probably's in that. Like, she got a package, had the chance to take a package, but that's not something that she probably planned for at 50. And for others, it's just like physical strain. It's caregiving responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So I guess another lesson from FIRE is this idea that maybe we should be thinking about getting our money right earlier in case some of these other things happen to our lives. Maybe my job ends up, like, it's funny, a friend of mine texted recently, like, she's an immigrant. She's here on a visa.
Mm.
And she's extremely nervous because a lot of companies are doing layoffs right now.
Yeah.
And, like, if she gets laid off, then it impacts her status, some sting in this country. So she's on pins and needles.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't think any of our listeners want to be so beholden to, is my company going to lay me off?
Right.
And can I survive?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when people get laid off, like, it's tough. Like, it's, people are crying. People act like it was close to death when people get laid off.
Because the uncertainty, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So right now, the average age for retirement for men is about 65. And for women, it's about 63. And that's up because back in 1991, the average retirement age was 57, like the average actual retirement age. One of the things that's changing is that life expectancies are getting longer. So back in the 50s, life expectancy was 46.5 years on this entire planet.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
We've already surpassed.
Yeah. And by 2000, it went from 46 years to 66 years. That's a pretty meaningful increase. And it is expected to grow to 76. And this is globally. This isn't a U.S. number.
That's right.
Because I think the numbers are higher in places with better healthcare systems and more wealth, et cetera. So 76 is the global life expectancy. So when life expectancies go longer, then you retire a little bit later on average. But think about that delta, that difference between retirement at 65 and death at 76.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
Of quote unquote freedom.
11 years. And then if you think about those last couple years, if you're about to be in the upper room, you might not be of good health,
right,
to truly enjoy the things that folks want to enjoy in retirement. Like people often talk about traveling,
yeah,
spending time with kids and grandkids,
yeah, and then sometimes they can't.
Yeah, so that's a lesson from FIRE. Like, yo, you don't know what life's going to be like, so maybe get your money right.
Or people are now having children later, so you don't get to see your grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Because you still in the workforce yourself.
Or not here.
Or not here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a few friends that are like multi-grandparents at this age.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of people actually retire at 50? It's only about 6%. You know, 25% want to do it, but only about 6% actually do it. Now, a lot of these people were in the military. Like, I know a bunch of military people who've been able to retire at 50.
Man, often the pensions are generous.
Yeah, they often go back to work.
Not saying they haven't earned it. I'm just acknowledging what is true.
Another thing I see with the military folks, hey, a lot of these jokers, and I say jokers, just people. It's just as a word for people. A lot of these people.
Public servants.
A lot of these public servants. No, a lot of them are out on disability, too, and that disability income is strong. And like when I hear about it, when I hear about it, because we talk to them on the phone or in Zooms, and like, yo, I'm sorry to hear about your disability. But then when I see them, I'm like, bro, ain't nothing wrong with you. Like, and I take nothing away from them. For some, it's PTSD. I can't see PTSD.
Correct.
Right? For some, like my cousin.
I ain't got nothing to say.
My cousin who's in the military, he's got a really bad back. Like he's walking with a cane. Like we were in Vegas together for his bachelor party. And because of his back, I had to get us a section every night when we went out to the clubs because he had a bad back.
Yeah.
They didn't give us any kind of break on the sections because he had a bad back. But like some people do have real disabilities.
For sure. Like my dad had some PTSD from Vietnam, but he also lost his hearing in 1 year from a lightning strike.
Wow.
I'm not sure if he was deployed at the time when it happened. Because some of it, for half of my life, I thought it was legend, like urban legend. I'm just like, what? Just the way it was described. But he lost his hearing in one ear, but he always worked.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of his income was disability income, but he worked.
Yeah. I have an uncle who was a paratrooper, I guess you call it. He jumped out of planes with a gun on his back shooting.
That would be paratrooper.
Okay.
Green Beret.
I feel like para makes me think of like the Paralympics, like being like differently abled. I think he was jumping out of planes. And he had really bad PTSD. Like he would wake up in the middle of the night screaming, cursing.
Yeah,
I don't think he got a check for that. Like,
yeah,
I'm
my dad had definitely didn't. Had some PTSD. Yeah. He would not sleep through the night, nightmares.
Yeah,
that kind of a thing.
Yeah, that generation.
But you're right. You can't see it.
Yeah, that. Vietnam era generation, they saw a lot of horrible, horrible things. My dad was drafted, but never made it over to Vietnam. So other stats. So the average person thinks that their number that they are going to need to have a successful retirement is $1.5 million. But the average number that the 55 to 64 year old person has in their 401k is 271K. Mm-hmm. So we think we need 1.5. We have 271. And the median number is just $95,000.
Yeah.
So a lot of us are going to be living differently.
Not so large.
Yeah, living a little differently than we might have expected in retirement.
Yep.
Maybe working a little longer, maybe living on less. And so the idea of FIRE is like, yo, maybe we can learn something from these folks who've dedicated their lives to being financially independent, retiring early, and doing it in a way that makes them, you know, happier. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll just get into this FIRE conversation a little bit more, and we'll see what we can learn from these jokers.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors.
So what is FIRE? So FIRE was founded not by like a single person. It kind of like morphed from a book and then it got taken over by bloggers and podcasters and whatnot. The original book was in 1992. It was called Your Money, Your Life by Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. Joe Dominguez was a former Wall Street analyst who retired at the age of 31. So that's a life hack. Work on Wall Street.
Work on Wall Street.
Make a lot of money.
You work 50 years in 10.
Yeah, word. I worked on Wall Street.
In terms of hours, I'm saying.
Yeah, I worked on Wall Street. I made some good money, but I wasn't thinking about retiring at 31.
Right.
That's for sure. Yeah. A lot of times you know, you make a lot, you end up spending a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to retire at 31. And the philosophy in the book was like basically saying that how you spend money is like how you spend your life's energy, mm-hmm. right? Like it took your actual physical energy to create the money. So you spending it is like spending your life's energy. Right. And if you think of it like that, like I'm spending my effort, I'm spending my time, it might make you think about spending money a little differently.
That's what I was saying. Like when we say Wall Street, and I'm particularly thinking about investment banking, not that everybody else didn't work hard, but those investment bankers, I mean, work.
They put in work. That's for sure.
They put in work. And that's what I mean. Like you're spending a lot of energy and time.
Yeah.
To make that money. And so you've kind of worked like 20 or 30 years in the span of maybe 5 to 7, if you last that long.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So started in the 90s, and it really has gotten a lot more popular starting in like the 2010s with like younger people than you and I. See, I included both of us.
You know what's coming.
Not just younger people than Dre, which I could have said. Okay.
The
main idea of FIRE is that you want to save a large percent of your income, sometimes between 50 and 75% by living frugally and minimizing your expenses. FIRE is about delaying your gratification. It's about saving your money. And then once you've amassed enough, you quit your job and you enjoy the rest of your life. So it's about, again, sacrificing today for a better tomorrow, which is like retirement savings,
yeah,
for real, but doing it aggressively. Mm-hmm. Like often we think about, when we think about our little budgeting, you know, back of the envelope, we say 50, 30, 20 is kind of a good target. Save 20%. They're talking about saving 50 to 75%.
Right.
Now, this is the type of number I do talk to athletes about because their income is truncated. They make a lot for a short amount of time.
Right.
So like those jokers need to be on that 50 to 75% type of track.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, I don't talk to them about that.
Yeah.
Like, I did a call earlier with a young woman and her number was like 11%. She can do, she's in her 40s. She didn't have a lot saved, but I'm like, look, if you can get your 401k percentage up to 11%, we ran the math, you could probably live okay.
Yeah.
15% gets you done. But this is 75%.
Yeah, that's... seems really hard to do without making some drastic changes.
Word. The next thing about FIRE is that, like, a lot of us think about age when it comes to retirement. Like, how many of your clients are like, at what age do I want to retire?
Yeah. If someone is, most clients or prospective clients are usually asking the age, or they're asking, how much do I need?
And that's what the FIRE mindset is. Mm-hmm. It's only thinking about the number.
Right.
Okay, if your number is that 1.5 that we talked about earlier, how soon can I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And the moment I get there, I can change my life. Deuces. I could, you know, have my own version of forget you money.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So also, it's not just about retiring early. It's also about like principles so that you can be more mindful and like thinking about matching your money with your mission a lot more, like in terms of how you spend your money and how that reflects your values and what matters to you as well. So there's some FIRE formulas. So the first FIRE formula is the 25X rule. The 25X rule basically says that you've got to save 25 times your annual expenses to retire comfortably. That's a nice little back of the envelope rule. So if you're living on $60,000 in expenses, and again, I'm not focusing on your income.
Right.
I'm focusing on what you live on.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply the 60K times 25, and I land at 1.5, which is the number that a lot of Americans think they need to live.
Mm-hmm.
So the 25X rule is the first one. The next one is the 4% rule, which is the idea that in retirement, they will withdraw only 4% from their portfolios.
Right.
Now, how do you feel about these two numbers, the 25X number and the 4% number?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, we talk about generational wealth all the time. I think the 1.5 million number or the $60,000 annually probably works for an individual. You have to ask, does that work for two people?
Yeah. Well, the 25X would be the household's expenses.
Right. So, but you can save more if there's more income coming in. So someone needs to be a really high earner or you both got to be going at it. And I'm just thinking about how much more challenging it is for someone who's not partnered to do it.
Yeah.
It's not a judgment. It's just the reality.
Yeah.
On the 4% withdrawal rule, you know, sometimes we're just trying to keep pace with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're withdrawing at 4%, but inflation is higher than that, and it's not usually, but there are periods of times where it is, then is 4% enough?
Yeah.
Or if you raise it beyond 4%, then are you at risk for running out of money sooner because of longevity risk?
Yeah, but on
like
that,
people are living longer.
On that note, longevity risk, inflation risk,
mm-hmm.
like there are some FIRE economists who are saying 4% is too high.
Mm.
Like the number should really be 3.25 to 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a planner, often use 5.
Mm-hmm.
And my presumption, is like, look, inflation's usually 2. It's not 2 right now.
Or 2 to 3.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 2 to 3. And if I can do 5 and I can earn 5,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably keep my nest egg for a long time if I can earn the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can earn 7, that's even better.
Yeah.
In my retirement projections, I never put 7. I always put 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but the idea of FIRE is like 4. So 4 is basically a conservative way of saying, look, if you can live on 4% of what you have, then your money's not going to run out.
Right.
And maybe it's 3.5. for some of the FIRE economists. But I like both of those, though, in general. The 25X, like, I think people need something to shoot for.
Yeah, you got to have a baseline.
Yeah, people need something to shoot for. But the thing that I love about the 25X formula is that it's focusing on your expenses, which you have 100% control over.
Yes, that control wheel that we talk about when we talk about generational wealth, there's things you can control, there's things you cannot, and there's things that you can some.
Yeah. Now let's go into these formulas a little bit deeper. So that idea of saving 75% in FIRE, they actually equate it differently. They basically say that if you can save 75%, they have a whole formula that equates the percent you're saving to the number of years that you can pay for in terms of living expenses. So at the 75% rate, and then every 4 months, you are paying for 1 year of living expenses when you're retired.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at the 50% rate,
I like it.
Then for every year that you're working and saving, you're paying for 1 year of your retirement. Right?
Yeah.
It's hard to save that much.
Yeah.
But the idea that like I'm going to aggressively focus on what I can save and equate that to how many years I can live without working.
Yeah.
I think it's a powerful idea.
It is.
Let's get into these fire types. We've mainly talked about lean fire. Lean fire is about being minimalist, extreme budgeters.
I didn't know there were categories. This is the first time I'm seeing these categories. And their
It gets deep.
Funny.
On the 2021 episode, we were cracking up because we had a couple of really extreme lean examples that we were going through.
Mm-hmm.
There was one woman who literally was dumpster diving. She lived near like a Panera Bread. And she was like, I figured out that on Wednesdays, they put the bread out and it's still good.
No. We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Another person was like going up to the, what do you call it? The place that sells vegetables and groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Not the grocery store, but like the...
Farmer's market?
Farmer's market.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, you know, they throw away these bananas after they get a couple brown spots. Those are some good bananas. Dumpster dive.
Mm.
So lean fire really is about extreme budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to live on 25K to 40K a year.
Yeah. Like I could do it just because I'm competitive, like as a challenge for a season, but I'm not trying to live my life like that.
So you can do it for like a week?
Maybe even a couple of months, just like as a part of a competition, right? Yeah. Let's just see who can do it. But I'm not living my life like that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
That's not abundant living.
I can't do it, yo.
Yeah. And I'm saying I would. I'm not saying I could.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Well, for one, like no disrespect, but your mortgage is already too high.
Well, yeah, that's also true.
Yeah, like maybe if that's your actual spending budget,
yeah,
like for discretionary, you can
already
make that work.
Done.
But like this is their all in
done.
The yeah. all in budget, bro. Like that's rent.
I guess. Gas. I don't
that's
have enough note. For food.
Yeah.
Maybe because we started with dumpster diving mentality, which is not literal dumpster diving, but.
Yeah. Nah, these jokers are going in the trash for food. That's dumpster diving. Last I checked.
Not doing
okay.
that.
Okay. Another version of fire is fat fire.
just made me laugh.
Yeah. Fat fire is for somebody that wants a higher standard of living and maybe higher than when they were even working.
Yeah.
Like, I want to upgrade my life.
Right.
In retirement. I'm not mad at Fat Fire.
I'm not mad at Fat Fire.
Yeah, for Fat Fire, you generally are going to need like $2.5 million or more to support over 100K in annual expenses because using that 4% rule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at Fat Fire.
Nope.
I don't know what my number is because I don't intend to retire off of a lump sum. I'm going to have a bunch of income streams. But I like the idea that, like, yo, just like entrepreneurship doesn't mean you've got to take a vow of poverty.
Right.
Retirement doesn't mean you've got to take a vow of poverty. So I'm not mad at Fat Fire.
Agreed.
Then there's Barista Fire. Barista Fire or Barista. You call it Barista?
I would have said Barista. Just based on what's printed.
Yeah. Barista. I think I'm thinking of the lawyer. Like, isn't it a barrister? That's what I'm thinking of.
I don't know.
Yeah. Lawyers like in England, I think, are called barristers.
Really?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, now that you're all UK educated your, what, 10 days there? But I see it. I'm a foodie. I think barista. I think coffee drink.
But that's it. So the idea of being of the barista, and I also don't drink coffee, so that word is strange to me, but it's the idea that you should save enough to quit your corporate job, but you can maintain a low-stress part-time job for supplemental income and or health insurance.
I could give it that, too.
Yeah.
I could definitely give it that.
Greeter at Walmart. The barista at Starbucks.
That, but yeah, something.
Lunch lady.
Yeah.
Crossing guard.
Something.
Yeah.
Stay active. Keep busy. It's not the grind.
Yeah. Lawn care expert.
Keep some kids. No.
Hairstylist.
I could do that.
Okay.
I could do that. Obviously, I'd have to learn and get a license and all that. But yeah, I could do it.
Work as a personal shopper at Neiman?
I could definitely do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's barista fire. Like, I want to retire, but not retire.
Yeah.
I want to work, like, in something that's, like, low stress.
Yep. When I leave, it's over. I don't take it home with me.
Yeah.
I'm engaging with people.
Yeah.
I can choose my introverted, extroverted.
If you were personal shopping, I think you would take that work home with you. You'd be like, hey, I saw this on the weekend and I want to send this to you.
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
But it's not the same.
No, for sure.
It's not the same. It's a different kind of energy.
And then finally, there's Coast Fire. Coast Fire is really just about like extreme savings in your 20s and 30s and allowing compound interest to really grow dramatically your money so that you can just like not have to save as much for retirement later on. Mm-hmm. So the idea of making time value of money work in your favor, invest a lot early, and then later you can maybe be a barista or work a job and not have to save as aggressively later on.
Listen, some of these fire strategies can or should be adopted based on what's happening in the workplace. Like, unfortunately, our children, those of us who have like young adult children who might just be entering or about to enter the workforce, they might need to be Coast Fire people.
Yeah.
Because they can live at home, they can save on insurance because they can still be on their parents' insurance and just save a whole bunch of money now and coast later.
Benefits of FIRE, obviously retiring early. Second, though, is just creating a lifestyle of more freedom, less financial stress, being able to make your decisions about what brings you joy versus how to pay your bills. Like having that shift from working because you have to working because you want to increase your joy.
Money doesn't buy happiness, but it gives you options.
And it helps. I think it helps. Challenges to FIRE. So discipline obviously is one that I think I would struggle with, the lean FIRE technique. But the early access to the different retirement benefits, right? So like 59 and a half is the number that most people are going to need to work until to tap their IRAs and 401ks. You've got Medicare, which is health insurance. It doesn't kick in until 65. Social Security, the earliest you can take it is 62. And even at 62, they give you a 30% haircut versus the full number of 67. So there's some impediments to this, which means that if you're doing FIRE, it cannot all be into your 401k. Like you got to be funding Roths.
That's right.
Brokerage accounts.
Yep.
HSAs, all the different types of accounts.
Because once you start withdrawing and they treat it all as taxable income.
Yeah.
That makes me think of another show, That Ain't All Your Money.
That Ain't All Your Money.
It's just,
you're just watching it
dwindle.
Yeah.
And not go in your pocket if you don't have all of those other location accounts.
Strategies that FIRE people do. So we talked about the extreme saving. Another one is like, they call it geo arbitrage. Fancy word for saying moving somewhere else. You know, you take your highfalutin New York City salary and you work remotely, but you're living in, what do we just say, Oklahoma City or somewhere that's less expensive.
Yeah.
Or retiring somewhere less expensive, including going to Morocco or Portugal or one of these places that people go to save money. Belize.
Yep.
Tactics that FIRE people use. So we talked earlier.
I like the idea, but I don't know if I could do it.
Living somewhere else?
Yeah. It's just because of my family.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, would I spend all my money, all my other money that I'm saving on traveling to see family, that is.
But low key, you could live in less expensive places in the same geographic area. You could live in Delaware or South Jersey or Pennsylvania,
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, you'd still have to travel a little bit.
But not the same as traveling internationally or across the country.
Yeah, I would just need to be near like a major airport.
Some culture.
Yeah, that's right. Other financial planning tactics that the FIRE people do, Roth IRA conversions, backdoor Roth. So I think they realized that if you're going to retire early, you need some money in a Roth account.
Mm-hmm.
So another tactic that the FIRE folks use is the rule of 72.
Yep.
Sorry, 72T, I should say.
That's when you are locking yourself into taking substantially equal periodic payments from a retirement account. It's based on life expectancy tables, but using that approach, it waives the early withdrawal penalty.
Yeah.
So but once you adopt it, you're locked into it. You have to stick with it.
I've had it work for people 0% of the time. Like you basically get with someone, you do the math, you tell them you can afford to take out without violating the IRS rules $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And jokers are like, oh yeah, Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yep.
3 months later, hey, go ahead and send me $5K.
Right.
And now it's broken.
Yeah.
Like substantially equal periodic payments.
Right.
Means that you, for like at least, I think it's a 5-year minimum.
Yes.
You've got to take exactly the same amount every year based on your life expectancy from your retirement account. And you can do it earlier than 59 and a half, but you can't go over that amount or you break it and now you got to pay penalties.
Was this close to doing it for someone?
Yeah.
But then we looked at some other options. We didn't do those things either. And then ultimately it was like, you know what? I got some money over here. I'm just going to make it work. Yeah. Or for this 1 year, I'm going to take the early withdrawal penalties because I'm not that far away from 59 yeah. and a half.
And then there's the rule of 55, which basically says if you leave your job after you turn 55, mm-hmm. you can pull your money out of your 401k without paying any penalties.
That's right.
It's like an early break.
It's not that far away for some people.
Yeah, that's a fact. Other tactics that people use, I mean, side hustles. I mean, we could do a whole show on that. In fact, maybe we should. We haven't done that in a long time.
And side hustles sometimes side hustles have a connotation like it's some random behind business and it's usually product driven, but side hustles can be, professional something and something substantial.
For
consulting,
sure.
Consulting, a bunch of people are getting AI certifications and teaching classes mm-hmm. and I mean...
Running a portfolio of dry cleaners. I mean, it's a side hustle.
It is a side hustle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Yep.
So we're talking today about lessons we can learn from the FIRE movement. We'll go to break and we'll keep the party going. I'm Alan Boomer.
I'm Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom. It's leading to the North Star. So we got to get into the extreme saving techniques because that's a big part of it.
It is.
So housing hacks. So a lot of folks are trying to low-key, a lot of these are like mooching, right? I've seen stories of folks moving back in with their parents or moving in with college roommates, like sleeping on couches, couch surfing. People are renting out multiple rooms in their own homes.
I wish I could remember the term. It was actually a pretty genius idea, if you can make it work, where mm-hmm. it was mostly single moms who were cohabitating to save money, mm-hmm. meaning they would take turns providing childcare and coordinating mm-hmm. pickups. They weren't in relationships, but maybe two or three or four of them would live in the same household with their children mm-hmm. and save a lot of money.
That sounds beautiful.
It's not a bad thing. Now, I don't know how that works if someone couples up with somebody and then they move or they leave, but you know, this was starting to get popular, it sounded like, during the pandemic.
Yeah. But that is like a big part of FIRE.
Yeah. It's, and that's not mooching. That's literally everybody pulling their own weight.
But like, look at a lot of cultures too that come to this country mm-hmm. and they all, you have three generations living in one house.
Yeah.
And they save a bunch of money and then they start to branch off and buy more houses and then they bring in more family members. And that's a whole FIRE strategy
for sure.
Car-free living. So if you're living in a city where you can rely on public transportation mm-hmm. or a place where you can ride your bike. I mean, that's another way to not have a car note or insurance.
Yeah.
Zero waste and DIY. So I read articles about folks cutting their own hair. So I've been cutting my own hair and my kids' hair like my whole life. Like, don't look at my hair. I need a haircut.
Immediately, I was like,
I need a haircut right now.
I do my own hair a lot. I did my own hair today.
Yeah?
Yep.
I could
slicked
tell.
It up.
I had to. Because you're looking at me like that. I had to say that. I had to. Now, your hair looks nice. It looks nice.
No, for the listeners, I am utilizing a drawstring ponytail. So there wasn't a whole lot that I had to do. But I had to get camera ready for a Zoom like real quick. So I was like, you know what? This is going to be the best thing. And then I just never took it down.
All right. Well, since you must know, since you asked. For the listeners, I'm utilizing a drawstring mustache right now. Just joking. So, zero waste. So, folks are doing, they're cutting out all the subscriptions. They're reading books at the library. Like they're cooking their meals from scratch. They're eating all the leftovers. They're using free phone plans. I guess there's something called Text Now. I've never seen this before.
Never heard of
Wi-Fi,
this.
Getting on people's Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. They're doing all their home and auto maintenance themselves. Like, that's extreme DIY right there.
I have like who utilized...
needs, who needs an electrician?
No, I'm not messing with... I'm not messing with wires or pipes and water. Not messing with that because that can cost you in the long run.
Free leisure. So they're foregoing expensive vacations, instead doing things like hiking and biking and going to the library and the park. And like, that's beautiful stuff. Like during COVID, a lot of us enjoyed going outside.
I did. We walked probably 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Just in the neighborhood, just to get outside.
Mm-hmm. The best shape of your life. Of your adult life.
No lie. Your listen, post-track we were clean eating.
Career.
We were eating everything at home, except I would sneak. Yeah. Every once in a while, once it got safe to do so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and my daughter would straight up go to McDonald's and eat in the parking lot. But we thought we were doing something because we would split the meal. Yeah. So we weren't having a whole meal and we were just like.
Yeah. That's fire adjacent.
I mean, Sharon we McDonald's. Were just doing it because I do all the cooking.
You need to walk to McDonald's.
I needed a break. I didn't do that. But we took a walk in the neighborhood, like. A few days a week, to the point where the kids were so stir crazy, they were like, we want to go. And we were like, we didn't want them to go.
That's funny.
That was good stuff.
You know what's funny? The FIRE folks have a conference called Econo-Me. I believe this is probably the worst conference out there. I can't imagine it's going to be in a nice place.
So
I can't imagine they're going to have good food or drink. I can't imagine.
It's probably an RV park or something like that, or a campground, right? A tiny house community?
Man.
I don't know. Yeah. Is there a tiny house community that's like Airbnb?
Yeah.
I don't know. But this is one of those things, like if I had money to burn, I would go just for the fascination. I'd want to experience it to see what it's like.
Well, I bet you it can't cost a whole lot of money for it to be a FIRE conference because these jokers are all cheap by definition.
Right.
I'm just going to see how much it is. Hold on. Let's see. See, they don't even have the price. That's how you know these jokers cheap. They don't even have the price on the website.
No, usually when they don't list the price, it's
high.
Yeah.
Well, they can't. That'd be an oxymoron. Like, nobody would come to this. These are all people trying to save money. Yeah, I'm not going to that. I mean, look, I'm all for it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, anti-FIRE, but...
No, I have to know.
Yeah.
You've piqued my interest. I have to know. And
they're
can't wait.
They're holding it in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I was actually just in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a cool little city. I was there. I bought a bunch of dry cleaning equipment from a store that's closing. Then I'm moving into my new dry cleaner that we're opening for our fund in Largo, Maryland.
Okay.
Kettering Plaza. Big shout out to... That shopping center. But that's kind of fire. I recycled a bunch of old equipment from another store. That's fire. I'll take that.
Interesting.
So other...
No prices.
Yeah. Other fire stuff. Can we tell a couple fire stories just to illustrate the point? And then we'll get into the lessons that we all can learn from fire. Mm-hmm. We'll close out with that.
Okay. So I'll go back to the show notes because I'm all over this Econo-Me conference website.
We'll start with Sammy. So somebody on Reddit posted about Sammy. Is my broke brother a genius or a deadbeat? She said her brother lives on $4,000 per year, about $333 per month, or $11 a day.
I'm side-eyeing.
That's like sponsoring a child numbers.
Yeah.
Well, this is how he does. He eats on $100 a month budget.
Still would like to know.
He doesn't have a cell phone. He has a car and the car is paid off. He just pays for his car insurance and he couch surfs. Like he basically, his biggest expense is now covered entirely by his family members. And what's crazy, like you would think, and this brother's 38 years old and doesn't work, you would think my man is broke the way he's spending and not paying rent. But homeboy's got $500K in his account. That he's living off of.
Interesting.
And I'm mad. Well, I am mad. You're not about to live on my couch rent-free while you're doing fire unless you're my actual kid.
Yeah, no, you have to be correct.
And then you have to be going to basement.
You have to be cleaning the house, mm-hmm. like the whole house, a nanny for the kids. You got to be working within the family unit to stay there.
Then we've got Sarah. Sarah and her husband, their entire adult lives only lived on one income, and they always saved the other income. I've definitely heard of couples doing it from time to time.
Right.
But they did it their entire time. Even in their early years when they were only making $12,000 per year, they moved into a camper 1 year. And then just the savings they had from saving all their salaries, you're able to buy a rental property. And then another rental property. And those rental properties created enough passive income coupled with the military pension and maybe disability, who knows? They were able to retire early off that.
Listen, there are some family circumstances where it not only does it make sense, it's very feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like one of those to me.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't start out intentionally.
Mm-hmm. And then we got Tanja and her husband, Mark. It sounds like an interracial couple. Tanja, you know any white Tanjas? I only know one. She's black.
Not at all.
Tanja and Mark. Mark could be, I guess I know a black Mark too. I always got to put racist to these. And the names are made up, by the way.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. So, okay. Well, yeah. these two have last names, though.
Yeah, So Tanja and Mark.
I'm analyzing culturally the last name.
Yeah. Tanja and Mark saved enough to retire at 38 for her and 41 for him. And the way they did it was extreme couponing. They got their food budget down to $100 per month from really just going ham. They said the only catch was it took them so much time to get the coupon game right. But hey, it's out there. It's out there. So let's talk about, like, all right, let's say we are feeling this concept. We're not willing to do all the things, but like we're trying to see what we can learn from the fire folks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Dre, why don't you start?
So one thing to consider is shifting from lifestyle inflation to lifestyle design. Mm-hmm. We talk often about lifestyle creep.
Yep.
So what we're talking about here is work on disassociating your income from your identity.
Yeah.
And then really practice on conscious spending, not just spending mindlessly because that's what's happening around you, but just really being more intentional.
Yeah.
People who adopt this approach don't really look at a salary bump as an excuse to upgrade their lifestyle.
Yeah.
So they look at it as a tool to get closer
to their number.
To their number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's very, very feasible.
Yeah. Because you were good living on that salary that you were making just a few weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, you need a Bentley.
You shouldn't miss it.
Now, all of a sudden, you need a Chanel brooch.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So the takeaway from that approach really is instead of asking how much can I afford to buy, just really think about what spending actually optimizes my happiness.
Yeah.
I like it.
Next. It's that concept of trading your life energy. If it takes you an hour to make $50 after taxes, then a $1,500 phone doesn't cost $1,500. It actually costs you 30 hours of sitting at your desk, 30 hours of your life energy.
Yeah.
And that makes you look at things a little differently.
Listen, I apply this approach just when I'm thinking about conveniences.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the other way, but like, I hate grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I like having food and a well-stocked pantry that says stability to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm over here calculating the time and energy spent making the list, driving to the store, buying the items, putting them on the belt, bagging them, getting them in the car, putting them away when I get home, prepping the food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for all of that energy, I could have made money.
Yeah.
Which justifies me paying for the conveniences. It's not exactly the same thing, but I do the math in my head every week.
But you're making that trade-off between my time and my money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another lesson from the fire folks, and I'm not mad at this one. It's the psychological effect of having money in the bank. Like,
for sure.
We call it forget you money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the PG mm-hmm. way to say that. Mm-hmm. But like, mm-hmm. I don't know that song.
Tell me a song. F you.
Oh.
You remember that? CeeLo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget you. I got you.
It's just in my head.
Now I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's in your car around town. With
I can't let it go.
Forget you. No, but like psychologically.
Yes.
If you've hyper saved,
mm-hmm.
hyper invested, and you're like homeboy sleeping on the couch, but he's got $500,000 in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your options feel a little better.
Yeah.
Like, you might not let your boss talk to you crazy that particular day.
That's right.
You might feel more confident. You might actually excel more at your job because you don't need this job right. anymore.
Yeah. It's not a, yeah. There's some peace that comes with that.
Of having like that people. Safety net.
Exactly.
Under you.
Yeah.
Like, I brag different. My swag's different.
Right.
I'm doing Jay-Z now.
I follow.
Yeah. I like that one. Other things we can learn from fire. It's the idea of account sequencing, like being thoughtful about tax location. So
yes.
understanding that if I'm going to retire early, because we often hear people say they want to retire early.
Yeah.
But then you look at their balance sheet and it's all IRAs and 401ks.
Yeah.
Like, that's
taxes.
Guaranteeing that you cannot retire until you're 59 and a half years old.
Yeah.
So think not just about how much do I save
where
and
do
invest.
I put it?
Where do I put it? And what's the tax impact?
Mm-hmm.
And like being able to start doing those strategies early enough so you're not waiting until it's retirement time to start positioning yourself for retirement.
That's right.
Next. Redefining what retirement is all about. Because remember, there's the lean joker, but then there was also the barrister version and then
right.
the coast version,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, retirement isn't just about stopping
right.
something.
Yes.
It's about transitioning. I was at a
yeah.
graduation the other day, and the speaker said, notice that we call the graduation exercise
commencement. It's the beginning.
It's the beginning. We're starting something. And retirement
yes.
is a transition.
That's right.
You're starting something that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're working as a lunch counter representative. Or maybe you're playing video games
not
all
the
day.
LCR.
But like, that's fire.
Yeah. That's really fire.
Yeah. And yeah. it's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to wait until you're 65 to figure out who you are, what matters to you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to wait until you're 65 to determine how you enjoy spending your time.
Yep.
Who you want to spend that time with. And like, your money shouldn't be the number one thing you're stressing over.
That's right.
I take that from fire.
Lifestyle.
Because if you can get those money things in order, you're stressing over, you know, how do I spend my time better?
That's right.
That's a good position to be in.
That's a great position to be in.
Yeah. And that's it. That's fire. That's fire. Things that we talked about today that I also got to just factor in. Things that we talked about today that I think also just sums it all up is like retirement is, there's a lot of stuff that's in your control, right? Like, you can control how much you save.
Mm-hmm.
You can control how aggressively you invest. You can control
how much you spend.
How much you spend,
mm-hmm.
like your budget.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff that is somewhat out of your control. Like, your health is in your control and out of your control.
Right. You can influence it.
Yeah. You can control or influence, to your point, how much you exercise.
Yeah.
Type of food you eat. If you eat McDonald's in the parking lot.
I have not eaten McDonald's in over a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a flex.
One of the last times I had McDonald's, a day or two after that, we had one of the most memorable podcast recordings.
Oh, yeah, because you...
In my history
of
being a co-host.
Let me just say, I walked out of the room and Dre...
Yeah, we talked about it before. The listeners know about it.
A time with a garbage can. Okay.
And to see if it was... I have to say this. To see if it was a fluke, like maybe 6 weeks later, I had it again.
Yeah.
And it didn't go to that extreme, but I did not feel well.
Yeah.
So, never again.
All right.
Done.
But like, there's a lot of stuff in your retirement picture that is in your control.
Yes.
Is one of the main things that we want y'all to get from this show today is like, you may not be a lean fire person, but you may be able to borrow some of those lessons and take back the agency of your life and understand that it's up to you
mm-hmm.
how you retire.
Yeah.
When you retire, whether you can make the number work or not.
I'm a read person. Retire early.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
I want the option to be able to retire early.
I want the whole fire. I just want to do it my way. I'm going to do it. What was it? The big fire? What was
it? Fat fire?
Fat fire. Yeah. I think I'm a fat fire person.
You can call it big fire. You can call it whatever you want.
I'm going to call it big fat fire. That's my type. So listen, if you want to talk about your own
financial... just rhymes with big fat liar.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. If you want to talk to us about your personal financial picture, if you're not sure what your retirement situation is looking like, if you just want a second opinion about your portfolio, about your insurance, what have you, feel free to visit our website, momentum-advisors.com. Go to the contact page and you can schedule time with moi or the girl version. I don't know.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Ella.
We spoke Spanish. French. Yeah, Spanish.
No, actually, AI is she, not her. Yeah, I don't know.
Me either. But you can schedule time
with whoever you wish.
Yes. Whether L or AI.
No, just leave it. Period.
Momentum-advisors.com/contact. And until next time, we'll see you next week.
I'm Andrea Gray.
I'm Alan Boomer.
We are the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Show. Yeah. Father show.